Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Located at Spanish Flowers Restaurant on Durham.
Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Well, I'm George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from Spanish Flowers. Reminder, all three locations, there's three locations, North Freeway, North Main, Durham, and Shepherd, where we are today. Be here till 6 o'clock. The Bees will be here from 3 to 6. Shout out to B. Hannon, who's on the Twitch, just came and said hello. Uber Mike, who's on Twitter, says he's here. Come say hi. But we'll be out here all day. Maybe some margs today. Are you feeling up for some margs?
Maybe.
Come on. You can't say no.
The problem is the tum. The tum-tum.
Tequila doesn't make the tum-tum feel better?
I'm not sure if it will. Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to mix medication with the...
You didn't read the bottle.
I haven't read it yet.
You should Google that first. Let's play that safe.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but yeah.
So it's a little scrippy.
So
what are some of your favorite moments? Like Texans, like last year has to be at the top.
Booing J.J. Watt.
That's a good
one.
That
aged so poorly.
I don't know the name because he doesn't work for us at this point. But there was someone from Culture Map at the time that
Chris Baldwin.
Yeah, they called him Pizza.
Paper City magazine. Yeah,
but he was with Culture Map at the time, and he called him Pizza Boy.
You know what? Chris Baldwin had some takes when he was covering the Houston Texans. Also, and Chris Baldwin does a lot of stuff for Houston Cougars basketball.
Yeah.
Probably covers it better than anybody. When Chris Baldwin gets on Take Boulevard, oh, watch out.
He's going.
You're on the sidewalks, watch out. It's Grand Theft Auto for him at times out there. But
yeah, booing JJ is one of the funnier videos, just like thinking back then to where he ended. But, like, it's very funny to watch.
I'm sure that the disappointment over drafting Mario Williams instead of Vince Young, who so many people here wanted, and on top of that, Reggie Bush.
Yeah, you were in Houston at the time.
I was not here.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
No. No, I'm not even sure if I'd started college yet. Was that 2006?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just made you a lot older.
Yeah,
than you
did.
I really
Damn,
I'm sorry, Paul.
Damn.
You called me a loser earlier, so I'd have.
Well, it's a loser mindset. It's a loser mindset. You know what? We're trying to shake you from that mentality.
I had to call you old. You know,
that's totally fair. I mean, like, no, I came here in 2011, but in 2006, you look at that draft class, and Mario Williams was the boring choice.
Yeah, he was.
It's a defensive end out of NC State, as opposed to the guy who won the national title.
I think he
and the player who was the most electric college football player that we had seen probably in 10 to 15 years.
Did you hear any more about that yesterday with Reggie Bush? Like, apparently there was this Heisman, meeting where Eric Crouch and a bunch of Heisman winners,
Eric Crouch,
were there, and they didn't know what was going on. Like, they didn't know that they were there to watch Reggie Bush re-get his Heisman. They were just thought it was just a Heisman event. And then I guess there was USC players that were there that knew what was going on, but the Heisman winners didn't. And they didn't know Reggie was in the building, and all of a sudden he just walked out and then they gave him his Heisman trophy. The NCAA does not agree with this. And they haven't said that yet. But, they have not changed their rulings, and, their rulings still state that, Reggie Bush was an ineligible player.
So the Heisman Committee has given the trophy back, but the NCAA isn't recognizing the Heisman Committee.
Yeah. 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 Which, also goes against, their rules. Like, the Heisman rules say you have to be an eligible player to win a Heisman, so Reggie Bush is technically, like, the first player that's ineligible to win a Heisman to have one. But at least they got it right.
That would be like the Germans in World War II not recognizing that the Allies were closing in on the West and the Russians were closing in from the East. Like, the war's over, dude. Yeah. Like, you may as well just...
Take the L?
Just, yeah. That's the nice way to play
it. Yeah. 713, Zach here says, just think about how excited we were when Rick Smith traded up for Deshaun. And look, at the time, it was a great move.
I
agree.
That was actually an electric moment. I remember I was at the draft party. I was by the stage. And Patrick Mahomes had just been taken.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much longer afterwards. And when they made the trade up for that, yeah, everyone lost their minds.
Yeah, that is a good one. I mean,
it was the first time that they had gotten a quarterback since David Carr in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, the earliest pick at quarterback that they had had after that was Dave Ragone, for God's
sake.
Right.
And then wasn't that the next year after Carr?
I'm not 100% sure.
I feel like that was.
But it wasn't that long afterwards.
Yeah, I think, like, they drafted Ragone. It was the year after or 2 years after, like, they had just drafted Carr. But yeah, the Watson trade up, the trade up for Will Anderson last year, because it was just so stunning. I mean, how often do you see a team in the NFL draft pick back to back and do it by making a massive, massive trade? But those are probably the best moments, I would imagine. Andre, I don't know, like, how people felt about that at the time. Like, I don't know if it was like this big splashy move.
I wonder if he got booed.
I mean, I'd imagine, like, most, like, that's like to what we were talking about earlier, like, people booing people at the draft, like. Why?
It's one of it's just going to age poorly
most of the time.
It's one of those things too where there's so many casual football fans, and nothing against casual football fans. I like casual sports fans. It's our job to get you a little more informed and hopefully entertain you along the way. But for the most part, I remember I was doing Man on the Street for one of these draft parties, asking people who they thought that they should get, and most people were like, "Whoever the Texans get, I'm pulling for." And I was like, okay, yeah, this is probably the right mindset to have.
Yeah.
Like, to be skeptical and doubting, like, as the pick happens. There are some people who are a little bit more on top of things who are like, well, I want this guy, I want that guy. But, yeah, it is one of those things where, guys, just don't boo.
Yeah, the only time I'd ever be
There's no reason to boo unless you're bored, you know?
Yeah. With
these guys.
Like, if you're ever going to, like, really hate a draft pick, I feel like the only real reason is if you know, like, if there's documented, like, major character stuff, and you're just like, well, I don't want to deal with this. Jalen Carter. Yeah, exactly. Tavondre Sweat. I hope I didn't just, like, name the wrong player.
Tavondre Sweat's the guy who got the – yes.
Yeah.
Who,
like, if you have character issues, like, I get why people would be upset about a draft pick. But for the most part, like, it's a crapshoot. Like, you don't know at all what's going to happen. So those are probably the best moments, I would imagine, because they're splashy. And nothing – like – I mean, you're getting your first Hall of Famer this year in Andre Johnson. Obviously, he played at the U, who was great at the time. But it's still like this, like, splashy draft pick. The Mario Williams, to your point, was super controversial, like we all know, even though neither of us were here.
This is a disappointment more than anything, you know? I think to think that you could get just a super cool player, and no offense to Mario Williams, who was a very good player when he was in the league, to end up with not one of the coolest college football players that we'd seen in a while. That's got to be a bummer.
What do you think about the I mean, at the end, they got it right, though.
They did get it right, ironically.
Yeah. I mean, though, Reggie Bush was pretty good. Like,
Bush
he had a great career.
Bush was ahead of his time. I think Reggie Bush today,
dude,
because of his ability to catch the football.
And Vince.
They didn't really know how to quite use him at first in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But I feel like if some team was using him as almost more a wide receiver than a running back, that team would have done very well with him. Like, he could have been, theoretically, like, the first slot wide receiver, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and he would have been so good after the catch.
Dude, like, the ways, like, you think about, like, the way Christian McCaffrey is used, you could do 10, like, he's almost like a, could have been, like, a mix between Tyreek Hill, or I guess, like, Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. Like, he could have been more wide receiver than McCaffrey is, and more running back than Deebo is. I always, like, I wish you could do a lot. I wish, like, that's one thing I wish, like, we had the capability to do, is, like, move guys from time to time. Like, just, like, what happens? Like, the Babe Ruth conversation always comes up with people, like, Babe Ruth would suck today. I usually tend to agree with that.
Babe Ruth would frustrate a lot of dietitians in sports. That's
true,
I'm sure.
What's going on, George? You're on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What are some of your favorite moments in Texans history? We are going to talk about that 2006
draft
class.
History.
Draft history. We're going to talk about that draft class a little bit later because even though Mario is a little controversial with who that pick was at the time, it's easily the best draft class the Texans have ever had. I mean, draft David Anderson in the seventh round, Paul. It's like, you know, that's when you know you're elite.
Sounded sarcastic.
He's my guy. I love DA. He's a good dude. So like one of my favorite radio shows I ever produced was when I produced for him. But what's going on? Like what's the tone on Joe Espada and Dusty Baker? We will get into that next because it does feel like it's changing very quickly. And we'll mention that Terry Francona reportedly is already back wanted to get
Let's
back
go.
In the game. And it's kind of a state of the Astros that people are going, Astros? Question mark? With Terry Francona? That's next year on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. True Western tradition. I love this stuff. It's smooth. It's refreshing. Give me a big old rock. Two fingers worth of that. True Western goodness. It's made with the finest northern grains, and it's cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood, and it's barrel-aged in American oak. You blend it all together, and you get something that's going to satisfy your inner cowboy. All sorts of different cocktails that you can put together with Pendleton whiskey. Yeah, you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm just going to do my traditional whiskey drinks. No, you can make a Rodeo Mary. It's a Bloody Mary with Pendleton. Trust me, it actually works. You can make a Rodeo Mule. Guess what? A lot of these drinks are just called Rodeo, but it's a Pendleton with a little Moscow Mule kind of variant. Pendleton whiskey is awesome. You can find it wherever you get your liquor, or on top of that, you can order it at drizzly.com. It is Pendleton Whiskey, it's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Located at Spanish Flowers Restaurant on Durham.
Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros about to get underway. Just a reminder, tonight we will carry ESPN Radio's full coverage of the first round of the NFL Draft, all 32 selections. You'll be able to hear here on ESPN 97.5. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock, expected to go till about 10:30 at night. And then tomorrow, Paul, myself, Dell, and others will be doing a draft show from 6 to 9. We'll be live on Twitch, YouTube as well, reacting as the Houston Texans make all three of their selections tomorrow night. So we got you covered here for the NFL Draft in 2024.
Hell yeah. So the draft, fun. Houston Texans, fun.
Yep.
Joe, I wanted to just share with the class,
yes,
a television graphic that we just saw,
uh-huh,
on the Space City Home Network as the Astros get ready for potentially getting swept in Chicago by the Cubs. Do you want to hear about the Astros bats who are struggling with runners in scoring position?
Honestly, not really.
Well,
but I know, just because I know it's going to make me sad.
Tough blippies, Joe George. Let's start off with Alex Bregman. Y'all be hating on Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman this year is 6 for 22, 273, with runners in scoring position. Honestly, it's not great.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad. Yordan Alvarez with runners in scoring position, 5 for 24.
Ooh.
That's 208. This number is really depressing. We touched on it earlier in the show. Jose Altuve in 2024, a career 293 hitter with runners in scoring position, 312 last year, is 1 for 16 with runners in scoring position this year.
Mm.
And dead last, this isn't surprising at all. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised that in 2023 he had a 275 average with runners in scoring position. Jose Abreu, 0 for 17 with runners in scoring position this year.
Man, they're trying. Like, they can do
those are three of your best bats, and four is an ex-MVP.
It's not good. And that's where, like, going back to the Jeremy Booth conversation, I don't know if the line of construction, like, really matters with some of that stuff. Because, like, Jose Abreu is betting fifth. He's betting eighth.
Yeah.
He can't. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Jordan Alvarez, like, will it matter? Alex Bregman, will it matter? I don't know the answer to those questions. Like, we'll see over the next 2 weeks, I guess. We'll get a better sample size with most of those guys of what it looks like. You know, like, not to nitpick here, and he's not playing a lot, but, you know, clearly your best service runner in the scoring position statistically has been Mauricio Dubon. Like, but he doesn't play all the time, which is stupid. He should be. He should be every center fielder. I know he's not as good a center fielder as Jake Myers, but he's just better than him. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, it's all bad. So it does seem that the Blame Espada crowd is growing.
Yeah. Joe, this morning, Nate Griffin from Fox 26, we were shooting a segment and we talked about the NFL draft and we talked about the Astros. It was at the Buffalo Grill. And after our segment was done, some random fellow came up to both of us and said, yeah, I bet that Dusty Baker and Martin Maldonado are laughing hysterically right now. And that was not the only conversation that I had, not on TV,
yeah,
about those two. I hate to simplify it that much, but there will come a point where those are the people who we're asking the question about. I think it's still kind of crazy to do it with Yiner Diaz because, look, his bat is better. There's got to be some degree of a learning curve with,
yeah,
some new pitchers in the mix and all sorts of different pitchers because of injury in the mix. He's a much better bat. We know that. But from the Espada replacing Dusty Baker perspective, you do wonder if it would be this bad if Baker was still here.
It's hard not to think that way. Because, like, there was plenty,
right,
of reason to be critical of Dusty Baker. I thought it was justified. The criticism, to the extent in which it went, was over the top.
That's the point. That's the problem. There was always some fair,
yes,
moments to criticize or second guess.
Yes.
But for the most part, I think he got things right.
No, and I think that's kind of where we're at with the Espada. Like, there is plenty of fair moments. Like, the use of Josh Hader, the line of construction, all that stuff. Like, the way you're deploying your assets on your team and how, like, there's fair criticism. Is it gone too far? It's hard to say no or yes to that question, but the results on the field tell you that people's, like, displeasure with this team and pinning it on Espada is fair because the players, rightfully or wrongfully, are always blamed last. Like, that is just the reality of the situation. Like, it does not matter if it's baseball, basketball, or football. Like, in football, we'll always see a bum quarterback. It's always the coach's fault first. It's always the GM's fault first for not surrounding them with the right talent. But this team specifically, like, obviously we've seen them have so much success, and the main thing that changed is the manager. So it feels easier to just be like, well, I think it might be Dusty.
Right. But ultimately it is the players.
Yes.
I want to say it's as simple as going from one manager to the next, but, I mean, do you even really need a manager if you're most of these Houston Astros? And I say from this perspective because I know that argument got brought up a lot, but I say it like this. Do guys who have been to seven straight ALCS need somebody who is motivating them? And maybe, honestly, maybe they do. I don't know the answer to that, I guess. Things can definitely run stale. Messages, mm-hmm, like they did in Boston, when,
yeah,
Boston had all those good teams from 2004 through 2011. That's why Terry Francona ended up elsewhere. So maybe the message got lost with Dusty Baker after a couple of years, and Joe Espada is trying to figure out how to deliver it. But the message should not be affecting play to this level.
No, it should not. And Terry Francona, like, it's like he reportedly, Tony, is it Anthony Lalima who reported this? I'm drawing a blank here. But there's a report out that Francona might actually want to come back and manage after just retiring. But what's funny about him is that, like, when you look at, like, the Astros versus the Guardians with Terry Francona were 76-86 last year. Well, they currently hold the best record in baseball still, second best record, in baseball by half a game to the Atlanta Braves. So, like, they're off to a great start. It's like they're not missing their manager. And that's like, to the larger point, is I don't really think it's just a manager thing. It's not Joe Espada's fault that Alex Bregman has zero home runs on the season.
I don't either. That said, I would love Francona.
Oh, me too.
Bring Francona in, baby. Here's the thing. I mean, for Espada, this team knows him very well. I wonder if they know him perhaps a little too well.
Like too friendly kind of a thing?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the organization for a while. This is one of the frustrating things I think that a lot of people find wherever they work. Sometimes people are just going to have a set opinion of who you are and what you do, no matter if you show you're capable of doing more.
Speaking my language here, Paul.
Right? I mean,
Producer Joe over here.
Right, exactly. I mean, we've all been through it in our own way.
Yeah.
So maybe there was an element of that with the players in the Astros clubhouse where they're looking at Joe Espada and it's still the bench coach. But I'm really just spitballing here, and ultimately it does come back to the players. I get that people are looking for people to blame and that Joe Espada is easy. That Dana Brown is kind of easy, though. Dana Brown didn't make a lot of the decisions that have the Astros in the spot that they're in right now. But, I mean, you know, we just went through those numbers. Guys like Alex Bregman need to hit with runners in scoring position. Guys like Jose Altuve hit with runners in scoring position. Yordan needs to hit with runners in scoring position.
Like you read the Altuve stats, like how bad it is. Well, here's what it is with bases empty. He's 33 of 77. He has a 429 batting average. He has 7 doubles and 6 home runs with no one on base. He's having an MVP-level season with no one on base. If he started driving guys in, like they start going scorched earth on people.
It would be nice if some of the runners at the back of the lineup, Jose Abreu, could get on base so we could do something with that too.
Yeah.
Or John Singleton or Chaz McCormick.
Hey, John Singleton was ripping them right by the first baseline last night. He's also in the lineup again today.
Okay.
So they are really, I don't know. It's weird that like, I do find it odd that Jose Abreu is just not playing, but on the team. I think that really shows like they really probably don't want him here.
Big clubhouse guy.
Jim Crane is not eating that much money, guy.
No, you don't understand. Jose Abreu, an ex-MVP, he's a big clubhouse guy.
Fraudulent MVP.
That's why they need to have him in there.
Fraudulent MVP. Well, today's off to a better start. At least they're going to get a run here. Sack fly from Yordan Alvarez. That doesn't help the runners in scoring position, though.
But it is an RBI.
It is an RBI.
It doesn't hurt his average.
It doesn't hurt it.
Yordan Alvarez going into that at-bat before that sack fly that gave the Astros the lead. He, with runners in scoring position this year, was 5 for 24, 208 average. Uh-huh. That stays the same.
Yep.
But you add one more RBI there.
Hey, you know what? Baby steps, Paul.
That is kind of funny that, like, if you drive in somebody via a sack fly, it does not really help your runners in scoring position situation.
It's almost like they should change the stat just, like, a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Make a change. Just a little tiny change. But, yeah, so I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
None of us know. That's the worst part. I mean, and for it to be repetitive when you don't have any answers, it's infuriating.
From the 832, is there any way to get a read on what's going on in the locker room, or is that against the rules? I mean, the clubhouse access is definitely, like, very different since the pandemic.
It's a lot more limited these days than it used to be. I think that individual access to players is more restricted. After the game, they have this setup where a couple of guys will come over to this wall and people with microphones and cameras interview them. Mm. And you do see the occasional sidebar conversations by players' lockers.
Yeah.
But for the most part, a lot of like the vibe questions or ability to actually talk to somebody kind of off the record, it happens before these games.
Yeah, and that's really kind of gone a lot.
So you have to, I mean, and so really the people that are there every day are going to have some insight, but here's the other thing too, I mean.
Well, Astros fans are soft and don't want that. I'm just going to be straight up.
Yeah.
Because last year they got it, and there was the report, there was the article from Chandler Rome about what was going on with Chaz McCormick and Dusty Baker, and everyone had a temper tantrum and a meltdown.
Yeah, that was weird because they all thought that like Chandler was trying to break things up.
No.
It was like, no, he's just telling people what he heard.
Yes.
And I mean, look, the fact that he's relaying that information should tell you that the Astros trust him enough to give him that information, knowing that it is his job to perhaps put this out in the open. You know, and this is a smart organization. You think they're going to tell the middleman all of the state secrets? No.
No.
But it's the guys who are in there on a daily basis, and they have relationships to maintain, so they have to be about as fair as possible when it comes to what they report and what they don't report.
All right,
sure, there's some players that don't like, you know, beat reporters, but, I mean, if they all hated Chandler, no one would talk to him at all.
I mean, sometimes they just hate TV analysts. You never know. That happens, yeah, too. You know what? The NFL draft's tonight, and Bill Simmons put this perfectly. Says he's hearing the Patriots might trade back, or they might stay put, and they might take a quarterback, and they might not.
Wow.
The 10-minute drill.
Riveting NFL.
Great information like that.
Bill Simmons.
It's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Sack! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Glenn George broadcasting live from Spanish Flowers on Durham at Shepherd's, their newest location. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, us till 3, and the Bees will be here from 3 to 6. Also locations at North Main, North Freeway as well. Coming up for Cinco de Mayo, they'll be having celebrations all weekend long, featuring specials with Patron Don Julio Casadores. And great place to do Cinco de Mayo. I think I might have to do Cinco de Mayo out here.
Hell yeah, dude.
10-minute drill, what's going on in the NFL? Well, let's see. The Bengals are a disaster. It's like we've reverted back to normal history. Trey Hendrickson, one of their pass rushers, and T. Higgins now have both officially requested trades. They've been very adamant that they're not trading T. Higgins, but they have not reportedly had a single conversation about a contract with him in over a year.
Here's the tricky thing for anybody requesting a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. They don't do it, which is why Trey Hendrickson was threatening retiring, because
Carson
that's
Palmer.
The only way that you can get out is if you actually retire on that team. So, yeah.
What
it's pretty funny to see this happening as well when you heard before the draft Bengals director of college scouting Mike Potts said, "We know we are close. We got a good roster. We are on the cusp of being where we want to be." And then you have two of your best players requesting a trade a month apart. It does seem like T. Higgins has resigned himself to the fact that he's going to be here the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But now you got Hendrickson doing this too. And on top of that, there's a lease negotiations that the Bengals are having with their stadium, and I'm sure Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, is being cheap on that front too. So you add it all up, the Bengals, even though they have Joe Burrow, are very much still looking like the Bengals in certain elements.
Yeah, it is going to be, we'll see what happens next with them. I mean, the problem with T. Higgins is he thinks he's going to hit free agency and get a $30 million contract like Ja'Marr Chase is going to get when they pay him, and he's probably not. And that's why he's not going to be there. Like, he is more Devonta Smith, who's got, like, a $25 million deal. I know it's a $5 million difference, but for an organization like the Bengals, like, that matters a lot. Like, they don't spend money. So, like, to most teams, I would imagine you'd be okay with paying both these guys, because how do you let T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase walk out the door? They're definitely going to let at least one of them walk out the door.
Probably, yeah.
Let's see what else is going on. The Texans brought in someone. Yeah, DeJuan Smoot.
Oh, you actually do know how to say his name?
Because I actually know who he is.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's why.
Are you friends?
No, I'm aware.
You're aware of his existence.
I'm aware,
okay,
of who the football player is.
I honestly, Joe, I saw that guy's name and was like, I don't know how to say that.
But he was with Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And so he came on a visit.
Hell yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll make a move after the draft. Probably just like see how it goes. I guess they could bring another edge rusher. Another article that when they list the defensive pass rushers, though.
I love edging rushers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Another article that when they list the pass rushers for the Houston Texans or the defensive ends, they don't include Denico Autry. Like, people really think he's just like a defensive tackle for this team, I guess. Maybe he is.
Yeah, it's funny. It feels like the first person to say that was Lance Erline.
Yeah.
But every down, I don't know about that. They definitely need some depth on the interior, and I imagine that's going to be one of the areas that they address, maybe not tonight, but tomorrow.
Yeah, I would be. I don't know. The pass rusher stuff, like the interior guys, those are hard to find out in the NFL. It feels like Byron Murphy from Texas might go in the top 10, and then there's really only one more guy we've ever seen in these mock drafts, but we'll wait and see. Okay, I didn't see this actual statement, but last night an assault occurred on live television.
Assault!
Tony Khan,
The
son of Jaguars owner Shad Khan, was viciously attacked by some of his employees.
Wow.
He was viciously attacked.
Is he dead?
He laid on the mat for a very long
time.
The
mat? Did you actually watch this?
No, I saw. I don't watch AEW.
Wait, so explain. What is AEW?
AEW is like it's another wrestling promotion.
But it's not WWE?
No, it's not.
Are they related at all?
No. They're totally separate. They're competitors.
So it's like the...
They're the XFL.
What was the... There was the WWF way back in the day.
And there was WCW.
WCW, that's right.
What AEW is like the modern-day WCW. It's the little brother, but they're on TNT like WCW. And Shad Khan, who's the owner of the Jaguars, and Tony Khan, his son, Tony runs and owns AEW. He got viciously attacked.
Are there AEW stands
yes.
that don't like the WWE?
Yes. Because, like, they're, I'm trying to think, what's the best way to put it? It's like,
why don't they just all blend together?
I don't know. It's like, they get, like, territorial over their product. There's really no, like, real sports comparison because, like, there's no, like, no one's, like, saying, like, yeah, I only root for the Roughnecks, not the Texans. Like, those people, I don't think they exist.
They used to. They used to. Not that before C.J. Stroud, there were people that liked the Roughnecks more than the Texans.
Well,
there were many, but there was enough.
They were undefeated.
5-0. We'll never know where that title is.
You'll never know. P.J. Walker, the hero the city needed.
Drill, baby, drill.
For
yeah.
like five games.
I remember right before the pandemic hit, I was back in town for Sean Pendergast's wedding. And after the next day, I remember we went to to Bobcat Teddy's, I think.
Okay.
And people at the bar were just chanting, drill, baby, drill. Drill, baby, drill. I probably heard John Granato on the radio call.
Roughnecks. But yeah, so in the NFL, like, even like put out a. It's just funny. Like, it's funny when like the wrestling world and like the real world kind of blend together, and the NFL like even like acknowledged that this happened.
It's really funny that they felt the need to put out a statement that Tony Khan is okay. What you saw in wrestling, you see, was fake.
Yeah, he is a very small person.
Oh, he's a petite.
He's
a spinner.
He looks like he's like 5'5", 130 pounds.
Oh, damn. So even you can say he's tiny.
Like, he looks small. Like, maybe he's taller than I realized, but he at least, like, he looks very thin.
Do you think you could throw him?
Yeah.
How far?
Like a foot and a half. Low expectations.
See if you grab somebody, like, by the belt, the shoulder.
Yeah.
With, like, a full.
I can get him out of the ring.
Rotation. Okay.
Yeah. I can
get him out of the ring.
Yeah. I get him out of the ring.
Those guys, it's funny that it is a fake sport, but those guys do take an absolute beating.
Yeah. Wrestlers. Oh, they do, for sure. Hey, the NFL's got a new official bar and grill.
I'm so angry about this. I can't believe they chose this trash-ass franchise.
I didn't really know, like, I've heard people say that Applebee's still exists.
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw one?
When my dad picked me up from the airport in Massachusetts and took me there because I refused to go to a Mexican restaurant because I was like, I'm not going to have some Yankee Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
And, yep, that was it. Applebee's is garbage. Chili's is the way.
Yes.
And that the NFL has sold out to such a low-tier brand like Applebee's to be the exclusive where you're going to go to have a disappointing meal sponsor of the NFL. Sorry,
yeah.
If Applebee's is a sponsor of the
97.5,
92.5. Okay, good, because like, I don't want to.
I don't think there's one in Houston. Like, I've never seen. Like, I don't think I've ever seen an Applebee's.
I've seen one.
Yeah,
Chili's is so much better.
So much better. Okay, is Chili's?
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby.
Now, see, that's they got to bring that back.
Ribs. But that's not all they are.
No, I know, but it's a great...
Applebee's is like, there's a lot of us in Alabama.
Yeah. Is Chili's an acceptable... I've heard this debate before. Is Chili's an acceptable date location?
Well, you'll find out a lot about a lady if you take the plunge. Because I think that the absolute best kind of woman will actually Chili's. Think it's kind of funny to go to Chili's.
Yeah.
Not saying that you do it all the time, but
well, maybe not like a first, not a first date.
I like Chili's obviously. A lot because when my parents split up, that's where my dad would take me and my sister very often.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but I very much enjoyed getting my chicken crispers, corn on the cob, and the apple cinnamon slices.
I mean,
they were so good.
For me, the go-to is always those Southwest egg rolls. Those things are incredible.
We had one of my buddies had a 40-person birthday party at Chili's in January in Austin. Yeah, and I had the baby back ribs.
That's
for the
funny.
First time in years. It was iconic.
Yeah, I do feel like you can tell a lot about like a woman you go on a date with if like they're okay with going to Chili's. Like if it's too good for them, then probably a little snobby. Because I'm just gonna take a guess. Apparently, there's an Applebee's in Conroe.
Well.
Oh, this
a hike. That's outside the wall.
This is a good text here. AEW versus WWE is like PGA versus LIV Golf. So that's like a good.
Oh, so
call.
But one of them likes the Saudis. Is that the difference? One of them's
that's
going
actually,
to Sean Watson.
Well, see, it's a little bit different.
Oh.
Because that's the WWE is the one that likes that because they're going to Saudi Arabia in like 2 months. The whole company. So they actually literally do that. They do giant pay-per-views in Saudi Arabia.
Hell
in front
yeah.
of the princes.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's a very real
in
thing that they
front
do.
In front of the princes?
Like, it's a very real thing they do, and they take a lot of money for it. They have sold their soul for that one, for sure.
Do they have any journalists go into the ring as part of these little shows?
They do not.
Okay. That's the next step, I guess.
All right, so NFL draft is tonight. We'll see how many quarterbacks go in the first round. Seems like it might be six. Sounds crazy to me. I don't know, man. Bo Nix is a first-round pick in the NFL draft. Kind of, like, blows my mind. I don't understand.
He's not going to be a first-round pick. I think right now everyone is getting a little bit carried away saying that all of these guys are going to get drafted in the first round.
Yeah. How much, like, Washington do you still watch now? Like, with, like, Penix and stuff this last year.
With Penix?
Yeah.
I don't really watch Washington much.
Okay.
There was the game against Texas. It was really
yeah, I just wasn't sure. Like, did you have, like, a like, when you were up there, did you watch a lot of Washington football?
I did watch a lot of Washington football, but I care more about Washington State.
Yeah. Oh, I think you've told me that.
Yeah, yeah. Wazoo was the fun school, and the Washington people were so stuck up because they used to be good
That's
in
right.
the 1990s. And similar to a lot of colleges, there's a lot of people that claim that they went to the University of Washington that
but,
didn't
like, did
actually
it?
Go. Mm. They call them Jack Husky.
Okay.
There's a lot of that with Texas here, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
A lot of fake Longhorn fans here. Or hang on, I guess that's not a fair way to say it. There's a lot of Longhorn fans here that did not go to Texas. There's probably a few Aggies who didn't go to Texas A&M, but I would say that the Texas definitely has more fans that didn't actually go to the school.
More bandwagon fans.
I guess it's not really bandwagoning, though, because if you chose them growing up, you rooted for them, but if you didn't go to the school, do you stay rooting for them? If the school rejected you, do you stay rooting for them? I suppose that's a question
okay.
that everyone has
I
to
think,
answer on their own.
Okay, I think if you like grew up a UT fan and you end up going to like the University of Houston, you should become a Cougar.
But the thing is,
like for me, like
for football, there's a clear level that Houston,
yeah, no offense,
nine,
not on.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
19 times out of 20, there like you occasionally will get a Houston team that was really good, like in 2015, where they had a pretty good damn good team. They beat Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
but for the most part, there's a ceiling. This is why like Florida's is my college football team.
Yeah,
because theoretically they could win a national title because they have recently. Syracuse is the school I went to, but Syracuse is like. Basically, like a 1AA school, in my opinion, as far as football goes.
Agreed.
You know? So, there's a lot of people that are like that. So, I think if you're a Coug, yeah, you're allowed to root for UT still. But I think you have to have chosen UT before you go to continue doing it.
Yeah, that's fair. And, like, if your parents went there, I get it. All right, Justin Verlander loaded the bases in the first inning. First three batters reached. So, his bases loaded, no outs. He just struck out the third out of the inning without giving up any runs.
Hell yeah.
So, Justin Verlander, 29 pitch first inning. Gets out of the jam, though. Astros lead 1-0 going to the second. When we get back, a take I heard today about the future of Jalen Green and his contract status. Do we agree that's next year on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5?
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Located at Spanish Flowers Restaurant on Durham.
Our crack research team here, the MAPES squad, sent us a screenshot of how many Applebee's there were in the area.
Yeah, it's very normal.
It was like five, and they're very spread out.
You never want to see an Applebee's. You never want to see one.
Uh-huh.
Nope.
Never want to go.
Nope.
So today, I saw this clip going around. Bobby Marks, obviously like longtime front office member with the Grizzlies, does work for ESPN now. His brother Sean, I think, is still with the Brooklyn Nets, I think, at this point. But Bobby Marks was talking about the offseason for the Rockets and the future of Jalen Green. Obviously, he's extension eligible. And here is what he thought what the Rockets could do or what he would do with Jalen Green this upcoming offseason.
Giving him a $225 million max extension check. 5 years, $160 million, that's fair. More than Devin Vassell, certainly fair. Better player. Better, probably upside is higher. Closer to an all-star here.
Who was that player he mentioned?
Devin Vassell? Dude, I'll be honest with you.
Who the hell is that?
I saw it too, and I have no idea. And I feel like I know a good amount about the NBA.
Yeah, I do too. I heard that. Is that some Euro?
I don't.
Is that some prospect? Did he mispronounce someone's name?
He plays for the Spurs.
Okay. And he's going to be getting a $225 million extension?
I guess so.
The team that had that many wins last year, they're gonna lock him in long term?
Are
there at least respectable statistics?
I'm not even sure. I guess my question with Jalen is like, do you think he's the kind of, just like from an outside perspective, because obviously we don't know him, do you think he's the kind of person or player that would sign a contract that's not a max, not a full max? Because I don't. Like, I love the idea that Bobby Marks suggests here. I've only given him $160 million over his contract instead of $225. But I don't see Jalen Green as that guy says, okay.
He has no leg to stand on as far as demanding a max. Like, imagine that guy demanding a max contract. Everyone would laugh at him.
Yeah.
You had one great month.
Yeah.
They're going to lowball him.
So Devin Vassell got a 5-year, $135 million contract from the Spurs. The last 2 years, he's averaged 18.5 and 19.5 points per game.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He shoots 38 and 37% from the three-point line. I don't know. Are we sure this guy's not better than Jalen Green?
$250 million.
For a guy we don't know. That's crazy. That's the NBA, though.
I mean, that's us getting older, but that's also the NBA. Yeah.
Yeah,
man, that is an outrageous amount of money to even be talking about for Jalen Green.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is one of the reasons that this offseason, I think they should very heavily weigh what trading him gets them in return, especially with a little bit of recency bias. Maybe not the last couple of games of the year, but that stretch that he had when they won 11 in a row.
Yeah.
I can understand how somebody would say that stretch and say, okay, we can make him do this on a more consistent basis. And maybe Ime Udoka still can. Obviously, as the season continued, he got better in that spot.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of money for a guy that I'm not sure is a foundational piece for a championship-caliber team.
Yeah, it's
And that's what that contract would kind of signify.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, I know, like, in theory, like, you can always find a way to move it. It's the NBA. Like, it's because it doesn't ruin your cap space like it does in the NFL. Like, you see big contracts get moved all the time. But that's kind of where we're at with Jalen Green. Like, you're comparing to a guy that, like, plays 3 hours away from us, and we literally don't know who he is. Like, I don't know. Maybe we're in the minority here. I don't know. I don't think so. The Spurs are one of the worst teams in the NBA. They're not exactly can't miss – or. Must not miss television. But I would just, if you're talking about Jalen Green and not wanting to give him a max contract, and that's kind of where I'm at too, I would rather just give him nothing. I would rather just wait. Like, I'd rather just wait out the year, because you don't have to do it right now. You can do it next offseason. Like, I don't
want
to.
Do you think he'd lose him? Do you think he'd be gone?
I mean, the NBA players are so hard to read, dude. It's like some of these guys, like, if you even approach Jalen Green with a $160 million contract, you know, $65 million less than what he could be offered, you might just lose him then mentally. Like, we've seen NBA players demand trades for way less of reasons. So if you bring him something that he would deem as disrespectful, even though it's probably a fair offer at this point, I have no idea how he would react. Like, I would almost just rather wait and just be like, hey, dude, like, prove yourself. Prove that this 11-game stretch that you can be that more consistently. We'll renegotiate next offseason, and we'll go from there. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that approach. But it always goes back to me, in my mind, a conversation we had earlier a couple weeks ago about, like, can you pay Şengün and then not pay Jalen and keep them on the roster? Like, that seems like a no as well. It's just, it's a tough spot I think the Rockets have found themselves in, I would say. Like, I just, like, going forward, like, you see what's next for this team. It's going to be fascinating because, like, they just have all these options that they can do and go for. But I just don't know what the right approach is going to be and honestly how they want to handle it. How are you feeling about the draft tonight, Paul, with the Patriots? I'm curious.
I mean, I'd like them to take a quarterback, but
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take a quarterback. And if they don't take a quarterback, it's going to be very difficult for me to go out of my way on a Sunday where I'm spending almost all the day at NRG Stadium to make the time to go watch an NFL, what is it, the NFL Plus app, whatever
NFL Rewind's
on now. Yeah. So they better draft the quarterback. I think a lot of fans, obviously it's a spoiled fan base, much like Astros fans have become, but yeah, I'm not. If they don't draft the quarterback with a top three pick, they're going to lose a lot of people. And they will likely have a very difficult time finding themselves in a position where they can draft one of the top guys. The unfortunate thing for them is, since they're drafting third crack at a quarterback,
that's tough.
We saw how that worked out for the San Francisco 49ers not too long ago.
How did it work out for the Colts last year? Maybe they got
the third quarterback choice.
With Richardson.
Yeah, they might have gotten the second best quarterback.
Yeah,
so
maybe it works out.
Maybe.
All right. Not players, but when you look at the NFL draft for the Houston Texans, day two, they'll have three picks. What's your perfect draft by position? Like we've kind of gone over our big board of, like, what we think is the priority, but if you had in a perfect world, like, you wake up on Saturday and the Texans have addressed these three spots in order, out of order, just how you want them to address it. We'll do that next year on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.